If you're Tom, Dick, or Harry, Jane, Jill, or Mary, or something a little more unusual, your name says something about you. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our names are often the first thing someone knows about us. They show up on class lists, team rosters, the top line of resumes, and job applications. What does your name say about you? How will the name you give your child influence their life? Why do names go in and out of style? Today, we'll find out the answers to these questions with Jennifer Moss, founder and CEO of BabyNames.com, and English language expert Patricia O'Connor of GrammarPhobia.com. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Good morning. Today we're going to answer the age-old question, what's in a name? We'll talk about baby names, what's popular now, where these trends come from, and trends through time. We're also going to talk about what our names say about us and how they even influence our destiny. We want to hear your story today as well. Do you love your name? Do you hate your name? Have you changed your name? And if you did, how has that changed you? You can send us email at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. My guests today are Jennifer Moss. She's founder and CEO of BabyNames.com. Hello, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. And also Patricia O'Connor is here. She is an English language expert and proprietor of GrammarPhobia.com, author of Woe Is I and other books about the English language. Hello, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
And I want to start the hour with the popularity of baby names. This is something that we often see news releases about this time of year, top 10 baby names of 2012. And it's so interesting to look at these lists, Jennifer, and how they change over time. What do we know about where these trends come from?
Well, a lot of things can influence baby naming. It can be from television and movie characters to celebrity baby names, to just the general trends in, society and population.
And we look at trends over the long term. So we'll take a look back as well with you, Pat, about some of the names that have been popular and how they seem to come back around. But Jennifer, one of the most interesting things to me is that when I talk to other parents, and I picked names for my children that I thought were distinctive, not weird, but distinctive, and come to find that they weren't that unusual at all. In fact, especially my son's name, Carter, really has gotten to be very popular over the last few years.
Yeah, that's very common that parents think they're picking a unique name and it turns out it rockets up to the top 10.
Well, how does that happen? Because it's not that I was looking at other kids' names and thinking about my son's name, and other parents have said that to me as well. They're like, well, it's not like, I was picking a name because a celebrity named their baby this.
Yeah, but you might have been exposed to a name on television that you don't realize was a name that other people have heard. And you thought, well, that's unique and that's interesting. There is a big trend for surnames to become first names now. And, of course, Carter is one of them. It's an occupational surname. Mason and Madison have all been trending in the past 10, 15 years. And so it's not unusual that you would have picked that up and thought name, but it was happening all over the country as well.
Right. Many other people thinking the exact same way.
Right.
I was thinking at the exact same time.
Right.
What can you characterize the names that are popular right now?
Well, right now for females is what they call the great grandma names. They seem old-fashioned to us. They're names that were very popular in the turn of the 20th century and are now coming back around in style, like, Mabel and Charlotte and Hazel, which was my grandmother's name. And Olivia and Scarlett. These are very feminine names without being diminutive. Diminutive meaning like ending with an IE or a Y, like Tiffany or Jenny. So those are very popular on the female end. On the male end, we're seeing a lot of Irish and Celtic names.
And that's been going on for quite some time, hasn't it?
Right. You know, it started in the females in the 80s and 90s. You know, the Celtic names were popular, and now it's switching over to the male side with Liam and, you know, Owen and Declan.
Right. I think I saw a lot of Ians go by a few years ago, though, as well, in the,
right.
on the boy side.
And that, you know, that also comes from the popularity of the British television shows and the movies and the fantasy literature that's coming out. They tend to use, you know, British and Celtic names for their characters.
And are there names that seem to be just out right now? You know, biblical names are, seem to be sort of perennial favorites.
Biblical names are always in style. It's like, you know, the little black dress of names. You know, it will always be in style and they'll always fit. Elizabeth and Catherine won't go out of style. William and, you know, Michael and David will always be popular for boys.
One of the things that a lot of parents do when they're picking out names is they buy one of those big baby name books, or they log onto a website and they look up the name and they look at the meaning of the name. Do you think that people are really influenced by what a name means?
I think more so now that the data is more available on the internet. I think they do look at it. You know, Kennedy means, you know, misshapen head. And people didn't know that. They thought it was a cool name. It was, you know, a leader of our country. But it does make a difference because they know that their child will be looking up the meaning of their name someday. And they don't want them to get teased or feel bad about it.
Pat, where do these meanings that we find when we start looking up baby names, where do they come from?
Well, some of them are bogus. you have to be careful of some of the popular baby name websites. They'll give you meanings that really aren't really historically accurate.
Okay.
But one thing I've noticed, and I've been thinking about baby names in the last few days in preparation for the show, is that, and maybe Jennifer can back this up, it seems to me that over time, if you look back over the last 150 years of baby names, which we are actually able to do now thanks to the Social Security Administration, which keeps these kinds of records, it seems that people have been more experimental with girls' names than with boys. They've been much more conservative with the boys' names. They haven't really started to vary that much or go off into more creative tangents until recently. For instance, I found a registrar of a chart registering names at Oxford University between 1571 and 1622. Now, unfortunately, these are only male names, but over that period, which was not quite 175 years or so, or less than that, 50 years, the name John was far and out ahead of all the others. The top names were John, Thomas, William, Richard, Robert, Edward, Henry, George, Francis, James, Nicholas, and Edmund. And as I looked over some more recent statistics, those didn't change all that much. For instance, the first year that the Social Security Administration has records for, it keeps the top 1,000 names per year. And the top names for boys were John, William, James, Charles, and George, same as they were 300 years ago. And the top women's names were Mary, Anna, Emma, Elizabeth, and Minnie. Now, in 1900, 20 years later, those hadn't really changed all that much. The boys' names were the same, John, William, James, George, Charles. The women's names were Mary, again, number one, then Helen, Anna, Margaret, and Ruth. Then in jump 50 years, the women's names change radically, but the men's names are sort of the same. The order is different. James, Robert, John, Michael, David.
Interesting.
On the other hand, the name Linda is number one in 1950. Linda, a Spanish name meaning beautiful, comes out of nowhere to be number one. Mary is number two. then, jump ahead to 1975. Again, the male names are pretty conservative. John has fallen to number 7. But in the top, we still have, we have Michael, Jason, that's an unusual one, Christopher, James, David, Robert. The only unusual one in there is Jason. Whereas the women's names have completely turned over. Mary isn't in there at all. None of the old familiar women's names for 1975 are in the top 5 or 6. They're Jennifer, Amy, Heather, Melissa, Angela, Michelle. So what that tells me is that there's still a conservative trend for boys' names, but people are being more experimental with girls. And I think what that tells us is that they thought somehow, I may be wrong here, I'm just reading this into it, that boys' names were too important to fiddle with. You know what I mean? That it was okay to make a girl's name creative and unusual, but you don't want to gamble with a boy's name. It may make a difference to his future.
What do you think about that, Jennifer? Do you think that people are willing to be more experimental with girls' names than boys' names?
I do, but you also have to take in consideration that boys were very often named after their fathers.
Yes,
there is a long line of generational naming there, so that's why the boys' names probably wouldn't change as much as the girls' names would. You know, that being said, I do believe that people are more creative with girls' names. When I work with parents, what we hear most often is, especially the fathers, are very concerned with the boys being teased.
Mm-hmm.
You will never see girls' names cross over onto the boys' lists, but very often the boys' names will cross over onto the girls' lists. So people are more creative and can get more, quote, flowery with the girls' names because, you know, it's acceptable in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is so interesting, and I admit that we had that conversation in my household as well about more concern about the our son's name than our daughter's name, actually.
Yeah, girls aren't really going to get teased for a really creative, unusual name, but a boy might, and especially if there's anything feminine about the name.
Right.
A boy might get teased, but girls don't get teased if there's something masculine about their names.
Well, you know, at least maybe that's our theory at the moment. I suppose someone may call and give us another story in a few minutes. We need to take a short break here, then we'll come back and continue talking about names. Right now we're talking about baby names and popularity over time, these trends really over the last 150 years. My guests are Jennifer Moss, she's founder and CEO of BabyNames.com, and Patricia O'Connor, who is the proprietor of GrammarPhobia.com and a frequent guest on Talk of Iowa, talking about the English language. We'd love to hear from you as well. What's your story? Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or post on our Facebook page, Iowa Public Radio. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about names and what our names say about us, how choosing a certain name for your child could influence their life. We've been talking so far about trends in baby names over time and what's popular right now. With me, Patricia O'Connor. She is an English language expert and proprietor of GrammarPhobia.com. She's also the author of Woe Is I and other books about the English language. And Jennifer Moss is here with us as well. She's founder and CEO of BabyNames.com. And you are welcome to join our conversation with your story. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we are hearing from a lot of people who want to talk about names today. Don is on the line first from Olwine. Hi, Don.
Good morning.
Hi. What would you like to talk about?
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I want to vent a little bit, and it's not so much what the parents are naming them, it's how they're spelling them. You know, they try to get real cutesy and put like a Bridget, B-R-Y-D-G-E-T, and they condemn that child for the rest of their lives that every time they go to a receptionist or a bank or whatever, they're going to have to spell that name.
And is this something that you have personal experience with? Don is not a difficult to spell name.
Don is not a difficult name. I can go to the reception and say, my name is Donald, and she'll write it out. I don't have to tell her how to spell it. No, I don't have anything personal. Just always, it's driving me nuts. All these cutesy names that the parents are, you know, trying to come up with. The spelling, not necessarily the name, the spelling.
All right. Well, Jennifer, is that a trend that we see a lot of, just different spellings of more traditional names? I mean, I know there's probably 7 different ways to spell Catherine at this point.
Yeah, you know, that's a pet peeve of mine, too, and I'm a baby name expert. You know, one of the things we say is, when we give advice to parents, is make it easy to pronounce and easy to spell, because you don't want to make the name a burden on the child for the rest of their life. And just as Don said, every time they go to the coffee shop, they're going to have to spell it. Every time they fill out a form or say it on the telephone to somebody, they have to say, you know, Jennifer with a PH. You know, I think that is an unreasonable burden to put on your child. Now, why parents do that is because they want a popular name, but they also want to be unique. But again, you have to look at the name from the child's point of view. And that's something that we try to get across when we are giving baby name advice, is that, you know, there is a person that does have to live with the name. So consider it from their point of view.
Well, and we have a post on Facebook on this very subject. And it's from Kashana. She says, my name is very unique. It's pronounced Kashana, but it's spelled C-A-C-I-O-N-A. She says, I dislike my name, and my husband and I have discussed what it would take to formally change it. Due to my name being so unique and the unconventional spelling, I spend a great deal of time telling people how to spell or pronounce my name. I've become quite a name nerd and spent a lot of time picking my son's name and future children's names to make sure he has a name that is uncommon but still pronounceable and spellable. My son is named Nils. Also, the book Freakonomics tells us that our names can even influence our ability to be called to an interview for a job. These are important things to keep in mind. And we have learned in Freakonomics and other studies that they've done research that shows that there are names that are more likely to get a first callback on a job interview, etc. So this is an important thing for a child's future, isn't it, Jennifer?
It is. You know, people do make snap judgments on a name. We did a survey a couple of years ago about names and dating, and it turned out that approximately 65% of people said that a name does make a difference on who they date, even.
Jennifer, can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Do people really spell the name Jennifer with a PH?
I've seen it with a G and a PHYR.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. You know, I have overheard young parents talking about, you know, what their prospective baby's names are going to be, and they always include, yes, and I'm going to spell it this way. And the other person will say, oh, how cute, as if, you know, if you can't think of a creative name, at least you can think of a creative spelling.
Yeah, and we always advise against that.
Yeah, it's you know, creative spelling is all well and good, but when it's your child's name you're talking about, I would think that would be almost cruel to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have a creatively spelled name that you like, let us know, and we'd love to hear your story. 866-780-9100. And we have a lot of interesting input on our Facebook page. This is from Heather. She says, my daughter's name is Chandler, which is my mom's maiden name. Her middle name is Adele, which is my great-grandmother's first name, and my mom and sister's middle name. We're keeping it in the family. Is that something that we still see a lot of, Jennifer, where people are bringing family names into their children's names, but maybe in a more creative way than just naming a child after someone?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I named my daughter Miranda, which was her grandmother's maiden name as well. And because of the surname trend, what people are doing is they're going back into their family tree and they're looking at the surnames where you can represent a whole branch of the family tree rather than just one person. And they're using those names as well.
And you hope the name wasn't Kowalski.
Well, that might make it less desirable as a first name.
Yeah, I noticed the name Madison for girls came in, in 2000 it was number three, the number three name for girls. And I just wonder if Jennifer has any information about whether that came in because it was a last name of a grandmother or a mother or something.
You know, I've always thought that name became popular because of the movie Splash.
It did. It was also associated with wealth because it was associated with Madison Avenue. And so it followed the trend of like Crystal and Tiffany and Madison and even, you know, some of the upscale brand names, which are still kind of hovering, you know, in the periphery, like Bentley has become on the charts now.
Oh.
So Madison started with that trend, but also, you know, the kids who saw Splash back in the 80s when they started to become childbearing age, I think it must have stuck in their heads.
And that was, of course, for people who haven't seen the movie Splash, that was the name that the mermaid chose for herself.
Right, because she saw the street sign of Madison Avenue.
Right, and that was considered to be quite weird at the time, although obviously it's become a very normal name to us
right
now. You know, we were talking about girls' names versus boys' names a little while ago, and Carver in Ames weighs in. He says, we're more experimental with everything female. We like to dress them up. Think of fashion. It changes a lot for women, and about the biggest choice for men is two or three buttons on a suit. It's not about boys' names being more important or serious. We like to dress up girls more, and part of that is their name.
There's probably something of that in there. But one thing we haven't considered here is, you know, the first name that you choose for your baby, that's only half or a third of the name. The child actually has a surname. So if the child's name is Jones or Smith, a name like Chandler or Madison might go very well with that because it's distinctive. Also, it has a you know, John Smith says one thing, but Chandler Smith says something else. Madison Jones might be more interesting than Charles Jones. So there's the last name to consider. And sometimes a monosyllabic surname, like Jones or Smith, or French or something, sounds better with a multisyllable first name.
Well, and that's something,
and vice versa.
That's something that I think newscasters who've changed their names for many years have discovered. You see a lot of that kind of pattern in people who have chosen stage names. By the way, I did not choose a stage name. I've been asked that myself over the years. This is my parents doing.
You mean the Charity?
Right.
Yeah, I looked your name up. Charity was, it's always been an unusual name. It wasn't in the top 1,000. Until,
1975, perhaps?
Yeah, something like that, when it was 183.
Yeah,
no, that's when it was most popular, but it wasn't in the top 1,000 until early in the 20th century. Now, Jennifer, if we can talk about Jennifer's name, her name was number one for a long time, between 1970 and 1984, according to the Social Security statistics. It was the number one name.
That's correct.
14 years.
It became popular after the movie Love Story. It was actually a book first, and then it was a wildly popular movie with, you know, Ally McGraw playing a woman who is dying. And it was just a beautiful story. It's a beautiful movie. And it touched, you know, everyone in the United States. And so Jennifer became wildly popular. And back before the internet, the trends changed slowly. It was about 10 to 15 years that a name would stay on the top five.
Right.
Now, since the internet, it's becoming more accelerated because people are not exposed to just their own culture and just what they're reading in the newspapers, but they're exposed to everything. Now, there's more information at everybody's fingertips. So we found that since 1996, when we started our website, that the trends are changing faster. You know, a name will be in the top five, maybe 2 to 3 years at the most.
Mm. And Jennifer, having an extremely popular name, we have an email on this subject. This is from Brittany in Waterloo. She says, as a professional woman now in my 30s, I keep growing in my hatred of my name. I feel it gives the wrong impression. It doesn't sound strong and it dates me. Do you know any 40-year-old Brittanys? Sorry, now that I work in a male-dominated field and being decades younger than my peers, I truly despise it. And now Jennifer was extremely popular too, although not maybe it doesn't date you quite as much as Brittany does. But is that a pitfall to avoid? Do you advise parents to not pick the name of the moment because everyone will know when your child was born forever?
Yeah. The trendy names do become dated. You know, Nancy, obviously 1950s. You know, and we mm-hmm. talked about Linda as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that's late 50s.
Right. My parents are named Linda and Dennis, as are many other couples
exactly.
of the same age.
Yeah. Exactly. And obviously, Jennifer, I loved my name growing up. I had no problem with it. But when I, you know, came to name my child, I wanted something more unique. And I think we do that. We tend to want what we didn't grow up with, mm-hmm. the more unique names. The people with unique names want something a little more mainstream. And I wanted something a little more unique.
Yeah, but, I find here on the Social Security website, Brittany was number 3, which is as high as it got, between 89 and 91. So for 3 years, it was number 3. But it didn't break into the top 1,000 until 1971, when it was in the 900s.
And then we also have to consider there's a very, very famous entertainer with the name.
Yes.
And that goes towards like mass perception. So mm-hmm. people are going to identify that name with the singer.
And mm-hmm. I want both of you to weigh in on this, and Pat, this may not be something that the Social Security statistics can tell us, but because it seems to me there are so many more names now, when a name becomes extremely popular today, does it represent a lesser percentage of the population than it used to?
You know, I can't answer that off the top of my head, but I would guess that it would. For instance, when John was the most popular male name, for 80 years or something, it probably represented a bigger chunk of the population than the most popular name does now. I would guess that just because there are more names.
Right.
There were many more fewer what were known as Christian names, you know, back in the 1600s. There were only a handful. And in fact, back in the way back in time, there were so few given names that's why last names came in. People didn't always have last names. They were adopted generally for most of us. They were adopted through either association with a place or an occupation. Baker, Chandler, candlemaker, Hooper, or Cooper. It shows what the person did. So that's why we got last names, because we needed some other way to differentiate people because we didn't have enough first names. Now there are so many first names that
everyone
sure
can have their
own. Somebody's number one. For instance, the popularity of the name Brittany in 2011, it was, if I'm reading the statistical chart correctly, and I may be misreading it, it looks like there were 419 girls registered with that name in 2011. I may be misreading it.
So, and Jennifer, maybe you can weigh in on that as well. Do you see statistics that show that these very popular names are smaller proportions of the population?
Yeah, we do. However, what we're seeing also is that the number one name is usually twice as popular as the number two name.
Mm.
So, you know, what we see is there is one outstanding name, either on the boys or girls side, that everyone's using, and then the rest are kind of spread out.
Interesting. And do you look at trends across the country as well? Are names in New England different than names in the Midwest?
Absolutely. You know, like any trend, the name trends start on the coasts, start in the big cities, and then kind of work their way into the Midwest and the more rural areas. For example, in Iowa, the top names, and you can get this statistic from the Social Security site, as Patricia had mentioned, the top boys' names are Carter and Mason. And what we're predicting is that those names, you know, in the California coast and in New York City, those names have already dropped down and are losing popularity.
All right. We're going to take a short break and then we'll get back to our conversation about names. We're hearing from a lot of people who want to share their stories about their names on Facebook. Spring says, I was named after the lyrics of a Crystal Gayle song, Spring is a Long Time Coming. I'm not sure if that's the title of the song, but those are definitely the lyrics. Yes, it was a 70s thing. And no, I was not born in the spring. I was actually born in the summer. Like I said, it was a 70s thing. And Skyla also says, she says, my parents named me after a memorable trip to Montana, Big Sky Country. So people have a lot of different stories about where their names came from, and you are welcome to share yours at 866-780-9100 or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. My guests today are Jennifer Moss, founder and CEO of babynames.com, and Patricia O'Connor. She's an English language expert and proprietor of grammarphobia.com. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about names, baby name trends through history, what our names say about us. Patricia O'Connor is on the line. She's an English language expert and proprietor of grammarphobia.com, also the author of Woe Is I and other books about the English language. Jennifer Moss is here. She is founder and CEO of babynames.com. And we're going to go to the phones here in just a second. But Jennifer, just before the break, we were talking about regional trends in names. How about other trends in as far as groups go? I mean, a lot of us know that different ethnic groups tend to pick different names, but you've even looked at the how our political affiliation might influence our name choices, right?
Yeah, I've read that article. That wasn't ours.
Okay.
But yeah, that it's very interesting. You know, even there are a lot of cultural differences in baby naming across the country. For example, the Utah Mormons tend to be very creative and like to create their baby names. A lot of times it's by combining the mother's and father's names. So, you know, we talk about created names in America. You know, that's a trend in the African-American community, but also in the Utah Mormon community, but just in that specific pocket.
Interesting. Well, and the article you referenced showed that conservatives, political conservatives, tend to have less conservative baby names than liberals, at least in that one survey that was done.
Right. You know, I don't know the statistics for that, and I would love to look at the numbers, but I would have thought it would be the other way around.
Yeah, I think most of us would guess that. Let's get to the phones. Jo Ellen is on the line from Marshalltown. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And tell me how your name is spelled, Jo Ellen.
Well, it's J-O. Capital E-L-L-Y-N. There is no space between the O and the E. My mom's baby brother, whose name was Elwin, that was, I guess, her favorite brother, they had a very special relationship. So when she had me, she wanted to kind of put his name in there. So that's where the capital E and the two L's and the Y-N comes from.
And how has having such an unusual name affected you, do you think?
Well, when I was in grade school, I used to just hate it. I hated it, hated it, hated it. I couldn't figure out why my mom didn't name me Mary or Alice or Kathy, something easy to spell because nobody spells it correctly, even my family. And I've been called Jolene and Joanne and Josephine and even Roseanne. But I hate being called Joe. When I meet people for the first time, I say my name's Joellen, and they say, well, I'll just call you Joe. And I said, yeah, if you'd like to be hit, go ahead. I don't have a middle name, but it was supposed to be Joellen K. But my dad didn't like, so they never put it on the birth certificate. But when I was in grade school, like I said, I hated my name. And somewhere in the upper grades, I said, you know what, it's my name. I might as well learn to like it. So I used to chant to myself, I like my name. I respect my name. I love my name. And then after a few months, I realized I really like my name.
Hmm.
And then as I got a little older, my mom started telling me the story about how my name came to be. And I said, oh, that's so cool. I would have really liked my name if you would have told me that when I was growing up.
And it seems odd that she didn't.
That's, she said, well, it was just kind of knowledge, you know, I just thought you knew. And I like, how would I know that as a little kid, you know? But just real quick, I didn't have any kids. I wasn't able to have children, but I always wanted a boy and a girl. And my dad's stepmom's name was Elvira, and I loved the name Elvira. And I wanted to name a little girl Elvira Karina May. And a little boy, Yul, for Yul Brynner, because who didn't like Yul Brynner way back then? But Yul Augustus Eugene. My maternal grandfather's name was Eugene Augustus, but I always liked the Augustus Eugene better. And I have this thing about three names. I guess because I only have one name, my children were going to have three names.
Oh, Joellen, thank you so much for your call today. And I think people who grow up with distinctive names either hate it or they love it. I always liked having a unique name, although when I was in high school, all of a sudden there were four of us in my high school. So just
Could I insert something?
Yes.
Here? I know a Joellen spelled exactly the same way, and she's from Northwest Iowa, and she's still a close friend of mine. She now... she's a college professor and lives in Michigan.
Oh, interesting.
But her name is also Joellen, spelled exactly the same way as that Joellen.
Well, that's fascinating. Joellen, you are not alone. let's get back to the phones. Karen is on the line from Des Moines. Hi, Karen.
Good morning. I have an example of one of your guests talked about the cruelty of names, and I have an example of cruelty that is baffling to me even to this day. My niece works in postpartum, in labor and delivery, at a hospital in Indianapolis, and she explained this story that had all of us just almost in tears for this child. A new mom wanted to name her child chlamydia, which is, of course, sexually transmitted.
No.
And she spent time, you know, she goes in with the form to submit the birth certificate, you know, to submit the information for a birth certificate. And she explained to this parent that that was not probably a name that she should consider. The mother still persisted. And she talked to her nursing supervisor, who then also went in and talked to the family. And they were not able to convince this person to change that. So there is some female child in Indiana with the name chlamydia. And I think it is the cruelest thing that anyone could have done.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for your call. And it is an interesting thing. In many countries around the world, I think Germany most famously, there are rules about what you can name your child. In the United States, we don't have any rules, do we, Jennifer?
We don't. However, we do have the right to call in Child Protective Services if we think the name is abusive to the child. So there's no hard and fast laws. But, you know, there was an article very recently, a news story about a girl who was fighting to keep her name. She was a teenager because of the laws in her country. And she didn't want to change her name, but it was not on the approved list.
So that's something that comes up in a lot more in other countries. I think that article that you're referring to took place in Iceland.
Correct.
And here's an email from Ron in Waterloo. He says, when I was named in 1945, I'm sure my parents were only trying to give me a name that was that of our Scottish clan leader, Ranald, which became Ronald. In grade school, I was teased for a while because of the sing-songiness when linked to my full name, which is Ronald McDonald. But in 1967, things really came undone when a huge fast food company created a character to represent them. I am Ronald McDonald, and although mine has an A in the Mac, people always misspell it, even if I tell them otherwise. It was most troublesome during my teaching career, even in Mexico, where I was Mr. Ron. But it seems everyone I know wants to introduce me to others just to keep it all rolling. Oh, I've often thought of changing my name to Roy Rogers. well, and I suppose there are people whose names seem perfectly fine, and then something comes along a few years later and make it not fine anymore.
I think, however, that if you really do have a name that you can't stand, like the guest who called in much earlier who was Kanisha or something like that,
mm-hmm.
It's not that difficult to change your name. I think in most states there's a fee involved, and I don't know if you have to even have an attorney, but I think you have to explain to the judge, you know, your reasons, and if it's reasonable, and if you aren't duplicating another name of someone who owes money or something like that, I think there is some sort of limit like that, some sort of safeguard. It's usually not that difficult to do.
Well, it may not be difficult to do legally, but I would guess it's very difficult to do personally.
But if you're really suffering with your name,
right,
you probably are willing to go through that.
We've
been contacted by parents who want to change their child's name because they have name remorse. A child does identify with their name as soon as 6 months, you know, because they hear their parents calling them. So they consider it their identity. And so we say that if it's a couple months after you've named your child or your child is born, that's fine. But any time after that, it could actually be detrimental unless it's their decision.
Interesting. George is on the line from Mason City. Hi, George.
Well, hello.
Hi, and you called to talk about something different, but I have to ask you about your name, because being a woman named George is pretty unusual.
Well, actually, it's a nickname.
Okay.
It's short for Marianne, actually.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
It's taken from the Nancy Drew mystery stories, so there was a female George in that.
Okay. So what would you like to talk about?
Well, I was just commenting that I am an English teacher, and one of the first things I do when I'm going to teach a book is I look up all the names of all the people to see what the author might be trying to hint at through the names. Because it's like picking a baby name. You don't name people random things in your stories, at least not if you're a good author.
Well, and we've seen a lot of that. Like, if you look up the names in the Harry Potter series, which many people have done,
mm-hmm.
J.K. Rowling, of course, used astrology and all kinds of different things to name her characters. And, of course, she had a lot of characters to name. And, Jennifer, I know you have some recent experience with this as a novelist yourself. How did you pick your character names?
I do. My first novel, Town Red, just came out this past year. And obviously, being, you know, a baby name enthusiast, my character names are very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
We long time had a page on our site that's called Tips for Writers, and so I made sure that I followed my own tips in naming my characters. But yes, meaning is very important. But you also, there's other things to consider as well. I think my biggest pet peeve with a writer is, in both television, movies, and literature, is they don't make the name age appropriate.
Mm.
They might choose a name that's very popular now, you know, like Emma or Liam, and give it to a character who's 20 or 30 years old, which usually would not have happened. You also want to make sure that the names aren't too similar so that when somebody's reading, they don't confuse your characters.
my main character, Catherine Lulling, that was a name of my great-grandmother. And I always thought that was a very feminine name, and it was a very almost soothing name, because the name Lulling means soothing, and that's kind of who my character is. So I chose a name from my family tree to give to one of my characters.
Well, and George, in your research, is there a specific name that you found to be incredibly revealing once you decided to look it up?
No, I always find it interesting. But I remember the moment that it hit me that the names would be important. I was a freshman in college, and we were reading Madame Bovary, and the character of Homais, I didn't know French at that point at all. And so I hadn't gotten some of the layers of the character, because I didn't know that meant the man. So anyway, I also wanted to just let you know that I gave my daughter a middle name, the middle name Elliot, for George Eliot.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call, George.
Thank you.
And, you know, we were talking earlier, and you mentioned in talking about character names, how names can date us. And this is a funny comment from Jennifer in Iowa City. And I just lost it, of course, because we're having so many emails coming in. But she said she was born in 1959, and her mother was very avant-garde, and now she sounds younger than she is, because there are so many Jennifers that were born after her. It was an unusual name when she got it.
Well, it was unusual when I had it. I'm 63, so my mom was a little ahead of the trend as well.
1963,
right. And my baby sister's name was Mallory, and she was born in 68, and that came before, you know, family ties made that name popular. So, yeah, you know, there are some families, you know, and mine included, that are a little ahead of the trends. So I give my mother props for that.
Now, your website, you actually make predictions for the trends that or the names that are trending at the moment. What do you think we're going to see a whole lot more of in the next year?
In terms of, like, celebrity baby names, they're getting a little more conservative, which I think is really interesting, maybe because they're getting bad press for their baby naming.
Ivy Blue and Seven and...
Yeah, exactly.
And I think Gwyneth Paltrow got a bit of flack for naming her baby Apple.
Right. And although, you know, following the Apple trend, which is kind of a nature name if you think about it, Violet and Ivy and the nature names are really coming into style on the girls' side. As for boys, you know, we're seeing really interesting names. You know, we take our statistics from our members' favorite name lists, and we track the dates that they add them to their favorite name lists. Mm-hmm. And because our users are pregnant or thinking about becoming pregnant, then our lists actually do predict the naming trends on the Social Security list. And what I saw are interesting names like Felix and August, Atticus, which, of course, is a literary name. And coming in at number 100 is the name Lincoln, which I thought was interesting. We've had a couple movies about Abraham Lincoln come out and some interest in him as a historical figure. And so that's affected the baby naming as well.
Oh, interesting. And Pat, we didn't talk about your name this hour. What does Patricia mean?
Patricia. Oh, it means patrician, aristocratic. Which is a joke. I'm not a patrician person, but it was most popular in the 50s and the 40s. And during some of those years, it got as high as number three. But it's never been one of the, you know, blow off the top, you know, popular name.
Right. Not uncommon.
It's not Jennifer.
Right. Well, Patricia, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Patricia O'Connor is an English language expert and proprietor of GrammarPhobia.com. Jennifer Moss, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Jennifer Moss is founder and CEO of BabyNames.com. Thank you to everybody who joined us this hour. I'm sorry we didn't have time for all of your comments and all of your calls. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, and Sarah Bowden. Our executive Executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Production assistance from Allison Sullivan today. Podcasting and on-demand audio of Talk of Iowa are available at iowapublicradio.org. You can send us email anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by the River Monks. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on Talk of Iowa, wildlife biologist Jim Pease. We're going to talk about what happens under the snow. Talk of Iowa is a production of IPR News.